Rapid Trade is passionate about mobility and solutions that make a difference in your business.
From mobile sales
and sales management to van sales and proof of delivery. For a demo, call Rapid Trade at 011-493-9755. Rapid Trade, ahead of the game.
Perfection where there is fault. We are the flavor, bringing the salt. Every darkness we came to assault. We were made to set it ablaze, breaking chains to pray and praise. We were made to set it ablaze, breaking chains to pray and praise. So let's set it ablaze.
Today we're talking about the great secret to financial success. And if you didn't catch last week's sermon, it's on Active TV. Please subscribe and click on the notification. And you'll get all the notifications for the sermons that are coming every single week for free. If the accountant is saying they're for free, you must believe it. They are for free. All right, so we're going straight into it. Philippians 4, verse 10 to 13, and it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you care for me. Your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And I know how to be abased, which is to live humbly. And I know how to abound, which is to live in prosperity. Everywhere, in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And I needed like a whole day to get this because, I mean, just on Saturday, I was hungry because I hadn't eaten for just the morning and I wasn't content. So I had to read this verse all over again. You know, he says, "I have learned." How do you learn something? You learn because you've been through it. Paul didn't wake up one day and be like, "Yeah, now it is now to live in plenty and to live." No, he lived through both experiences. He learned through what he lived in his life to be content, whether he has plenty or whether he has very little. What is the secret to financial success? Man, I knew that was going to get me. I practiced it so many times. What is the secret to financial success? All right, so we need to learn to be content. What is the definition of being content? A state of peaceful happiness or satisfaction. Just those words, just bring that onto you. Just imagine, okay, being in a state of peaceful happiness or satisfaction. There's that other happiness that's crazy where you just happen, you're using your head. Now this one is that peaceful happiness. You know, that happiness that you just, you know. It's just happiness, man. The peaceful happiness or satisfaction, fulfillment or pleasure. And Pastor Gavin said this morning that even when people are rejecting us, we know that we've got the approval of God. That's the type of contentment. You know that contentment that you know that you know that your God's got you? You know, that's exactly what it is. What is the foundation of contentment? A confident trust in God's provision. A confident trust in God's provision. It's not just when you're confident. You know, before you go into an interview, this is what the world says. You must have confidence in yourself and do this. And what does that mean? You know you're going to do this. No. This is confidence in God, in the one who will never let you go. What does he say? He says, "Listen, I know the plans I've got for you. Plans to prosper you, not for harm or disaster, but for future and hope." He says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He says, "I'll turn everything for good because you love me and for my purpose." That's the God that we serve. A God who will supernaturally weave things for your good. In our quiet times, we're reading in Daniel this week. You know, I can't remember which day, but it said about how God had made the official give Daniel favor. Now, if God can do it for Daniel, he can do it for you because he's not a God of favorites. Amen? Okay, so how do we kill contentment? The things that kill contentment is that blur. You know what I'm saying? Of the distinction between needs and wants. They get so confused. They don't even know what it is. They just say, "I want to need it." You know, because you just have to do both. You know, because we don't know what's needed. We don't know what's want. You know, people need better jobs. This job is not paying me that much. So I need a new one. I need a better one. I'm not able to buy all my Jimmy Choo's with this job. So I need it. I need a fancier car. I mean, Bernice just got a new hand. I mean, hello. I need me a new car as well. And I need a bigger home. This person lives in Stanton. This one lives in, and there I am, Rosetta Bonaire. I need to move. You know? What's happening? So we start getting all discontent. I need new shoes. I need new clothes. You know, young people, vans are in and you don't have a pair. I mean, how do you do this? We steal money. It's real. We steal money so that when we walk through that auditorium door, we put our first foot forward so everyone can see our vans. Do you know how? Because they are so in right now. And everybody, that's what we need. You know, oh my word. And this was literally my life. When I was young and my mother was too strict for my liking, I couldn't wait to move out of home. Man, if I can just move out of home, the amount of things I'd be able to do. My word. These days we make it spiritual. Move out of home so I can do more visits. So my mother doesn't give me a curfew. You're lying. It's not true. It's not true. Paul says, I have learned. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. There's an economical and spiritual, there's economical and spiritual laws in place. Okay, what you have not, when you have not learned contentment, this is what happens. Okay, these are business tech stats from 2015. This is South Africa, in case you start relaxing and you think it's another country. You know, in South Africa, consumers owe as much as 75% of their monthly income to creditors, to banks or microlenders. Out of that, all of those consumers, more than 53% of them are between the ages of 31 to 45. Okay, consumers who are struggling to pay their home loans are currently standing at 56%. These are people who bought homes but now are not able to pay it off. Okay, consumers who are battling to pay off their credit cards are running at 58.83%. Now, these are problems that are in South Africa. And I can tell you from 2015, this has probably increased. Okay, the Bible does not teach you that borrowing is a sin. This is what it says in Matthew 25, verse 27. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. This is where the bank owes you money. How many of us here can say the bank owes us and we don't owe the bank? You know what I'm saying? Because so many of us have got loans, we're paying off houses and cars and all that stuff. Okay, but yeah, you can see Jesus was speaking, okay, saying, not, why didn't you just put it in a bank so I can get some interest from it? Okay, there's dangers to debt. Why is it that we take this debt? You know, because if you're buying a house and you can't, I mean, that's okay. You know, if you can pay off your house. But why do people take debt? For clothes. Those vans. Jewelry. December. Yo. December is the one. Events and activities. Now people are out there like, nah, bro, this is December. I gotta do things. You know, I gotta take out a loan. People take out a loan for Black Friday. And Cyber Monday tomorrow. People are playing, like, okay. So if I take out, I mean, that 55 centimeter TV used to be 12,000 Rand. If I get it, ooh, Black Friday, I need to take out a loan for this. You know, people do that for food. Nah. Guys, taking out loans for food. I actually have seen it. People borrow. I got their money from Kayla on Monday. Tuesday, it's Brian. By the time they get paid, there's no money because they got to be paying back everybody. You know what I'm saying? Borrowing changes your position. It changes the position that we're in. In Proverbs 22, verse 7, it says, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is a servant to the lender. We want to be the lender. We don't want to be the borrowers in life. Borrowing and not paying back is sin. Borrowing on its own is not sin. But when you borrow and you don't pay back, it's sin. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Go. It's okay to go hungry. Learn like Paul has to just don't borrow that money to buy that quota. It's okay. Learn. It's better not to vow than to vow and not to pay. And God uses money to test our spiritual maturity. What? The way you manage your finances and your money will influence how much God will trust you with. Oh, Boneka, you getting? I can get that. What? You mean if I don't handle this 100 rand that I've got right now faithfully, and you're telling me God's not going to give me the 1,000? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, but 100 rand is so small, Boneka. I mean, give me 10,000, then I'll show you what manage is. Man, I'm going to manage it so good. No. If you cannot handle, if you cannot manage that little that you've got, that little 100 rand that you think, oh, this is nothing, this is just pocket money, this is just lunch money my mother gave me, you won't be able to handle the bigger things. Okay, the way you manage your finances influences how much God will trust you. And it says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, said to Pastor Gabe, what's mammon? Okay, and he said, worldly wealth. Okay, so if you worship the things of this world, who will commit to you? Who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you have not been faithful with what's another man, who will give you what is your own? And now we look at 5 principles to financial freedom. These should become habits. So many times we want to try to do things, and as they start working, we stop. I got my finances in check now. Thanks, that was good. Thanks, Pastor. Okay, 5 points, that's it. No. This needs to be a habit. This needs to be something that we do in our lives. And the first one is to keep good records. In Proverbs 27, verse 23 to 26, it says, know your sheep by name, carefully attend to your flocks. Your flocks and your sheep can be your assets, can be your stocks. You must keep track of your finances. Be aware, be conscious of how to use it. Have you ever heard yourself say, I just don't know where it goes? I get paid on the first and by the third. I'm telling you now, I'm already waiting for the next payday. There's people. Okay, where you literally say, I don't know where it goes. It just disappears. You know, it goes from my account to other people's accounts. And that's what it does. Okay, you are heading for trouble if you don't know where your money goes. Be realistic. How are you really doing financially? How are you doing? And it says in Proverbs 23, verse 23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Okay? And there's this amazing equation that works. You can go test it out. Okay? You can come back to me in 3 months' time, and I'm guaranteeing you that you'll tell me that it's true. Ignorance plus easy credit equals trouble. That's it. Sean agrees with me. Pastor Gephers, I can see it. It works. Okay? Go try it if you don't believe us. Okay? But ignorance plus easy credit is trouble. Okay? The 4 facts that you must know about your money to be financially free is, what do you own? Someone was like, no, I own my car. No. You don't own that car. Because if you don't pay that car in 3 months, I'm telling you the bank is coming to repossess it. That your car should fall into the O. Okay, fine. I own my house. Really? Are you sure? Have you paid the bank fully? So they wouldn't repossess it? You know, if you didn't pay your house for like 6 months? All right, so what do you own? What do you owe? And what do you earn, and where does it go? What do you own? Well, like I've got 5 rand to my name. Good. It's something. Start working from that. Because so many of us, we think our things are so small that we can't even look after them. We think our things are so small, I only have 5 rand. Who can start saving for 5 rand? No, you can start saving with just the 5 rand that you've got to your name. That's what we need to do. And know what you spent. Keep a log. People always make fun of me. You take my purse and all my slips are there. You know, what do you do with these? No, I keep a log. I want to know. Okay, keep a log of what you spend. Get some software. I mean, Kevin will tell you, I was telling about this amazing thing that he found somewhere to track his spending, and he knows how much he spends each day and things like that. And do you know, once you start keeping a log, that you actually spend this? You just spend an hour, says, now when you come home on that, you're like, yes, lunch was 50, woo, Uber, 70 rand, that's a bit much. I spent 400 rand on what today? You start keeping a log, because now you know, you're like, Why would I be spending 400 rand when I could have done this, this, and that? When you keep a log, you're able to see and you're able to save. All right, you can't say, I don't have time to do this. No, you don't have the money not to do this. All right, number two, plan your spending. Budgeting. You must set financial goals and stick with them. It's not a budget if you haven't stuck to it. So many of us do the budget end of the month and it looks good, man. Before your salary comes in, that's going there. Your salary comes in. Woo! We stuck to that. I don't know where it went again. Do your budget and stick to it. You can't do a budget in your mind. I've tried it. You're like, yeah, that should go there. No, that. Yeah, that must. And then after that, you never keep to that. I'm telling you, it doesn't work. Don't do a budget because your mind can only just erase and replace. Because right now, you know what I'm saying? You see this thing. Your mind just easily. Remember, you're in control of your mind. You're not in control of that ink and that paper and it keeps you to it. You're like, man, yeah, no, I can't. No, it doesn't allow me. Okay, financial freedom is not determined by how much you make. But it is determined by how you spend it. Freedom comes not from making more, but spending less. I remember what Pastor Gav taught us so many years ago about how the Jewish people live on 5 rand. And at that time, I wasn't earning much. So I said, listen, I'm gonna start this living on 5 rand thing. You know, because, I mean, I could live on the full 10 rand. You know, but let's just see how it is to live on 5 rand. And you know, it's not a brag, but I've been successful in living on 5 rand in my life. Whether I get a 10 rand increase, 100 rand increase, 1,000 rand increase, I'm able to say, now on this 5 rand, this is what it is. You give it, you sow it, you invest it, and then you save it. And that's what you hit. Tithe is give, you know? And that's what we're about. So learn how to live within your means. Don't act too quickly when you buy. Don't buy out of impulse. Eish. What? You mean, guys, this one works to me every single time. As soon as I see that four-letter word, and it always comes in red, it's like I see sale. And everything changes. Like, everything. I walk in, and I said, you know, you're going to buy other stuff, but I was actually not even buying this stuff, but this top happens to be on sale. And as an accountant, how would I let this moment of saving money pass me by? Because I was going to buy this top. I really was. You know, at a later stage in my life. And now, this top went from whatever the shop tells me to this price. I have to take it. I mean, how do you walk out of the shop and lose this opportunity that these amazing people have given to you? I mean, you would have had to buy that top, Onega, for 200 bucks and now they've dropped it to 130. There's no way you can walk past. So I stand there, I'm like, okay, fine, I'm saving. That's it. Scratch that part on the budget. Replace it with the top. You know, that's how it is. But that word works for me. I've even confessed on the mode for those who listen to the mode. That is the word. I'm just being weaved of that word every single day. But how I self-control myself is that I don't do shops. So I don't get to see that word. Okay, because it literally, I need to apply the blood over that word over my life because it's got a hold. Okay, because they know exactly how. Do you know that the marketers and the shops are planning for you to spend your unplanned money? They're putting a lot of time. They didn't wake up on Friday like, oh, let's see what we're going to put on sale today. No. They were planning. They were like, Black Friday is coming up and we're going to chow people's money. We're going to put people in debt. How do we do this? And they sat around the table. They're like, yep, you put that on special. A lot of people are looking for big flat screen TVs. And guess what? They're getting their bonuses just now. So they're going to just splash it all over us. Yes. And everybody was happy. They planned to get your money that you didn't plan to spend. All right. And that's what they do. And now we look at the third point, which is save for the future. And before that, how do you stop letting the S word get in your way? You budget. So replace the 4-letter word with the 6-letter word and you're good to go. You know what I'm saying? What is the definition of budgeting? It's planned spending. Okay, planned spending is what will get you out of the red race. And then number 3 is save for the future. Be wise. Okay, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Now that verse is good enough to get me off from the other side, because nobody wants to be called a fool. And if you spend whatever you get, you know what you are. Now, I mean, I was suffering with that 4-letter word. And then I read that verse, I was like, never mind. It's fine. I'm not going to be a fool. I will be the wise. All right. I will get wealthy. You know, the Bible has that thing about getting you to do the right thing. You know what I'm saying? Fool, spend whatever. What? Did you just call me a fool? Do you spend what you get? Yeah. Okay. I'm done. I'm officially moving to the wise side. Did you know that an average Japanese person saves 20% of his income? An average European saves about 18% of their income. An average South African. We've just mentioned their spending ability, so we're not even gonna go back there. All right, I mean, what is that? I mean, Japanese people are spending 20%. Guys, no, man. You know, it says, this is what the Bible says about get rich quick schemes. Wealth from, I thought Pastor Gavin fixed this thing. It wasn't really in the Bible. I mean, what does the Bible know about get rich quick schemes? These are like 21st century stuff. No, no, but if you open your Bible, it says this. Wealth from get rich quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. Triple M. Get rich quick schemes. No. All the people that are guilty, Pastor Gabba, Triple M was something that was about. They were promising to give you 30% interest on all your income. All right. So they would tell you to give as much as you can so you can grow that 30% very fast. And lots of people lost their money. It disappeared. You know how it goes so quick, it looks like it disappeared? That's exactly what it is. A lot of people put their money in there and it went. Okay, get rich quick schemes quickly disappears. Don't get into that. In 2018, in the year coming, saving. Okay, set goals for your life. Okay, where you can save, where you can spend, and in your giving. Proverbs 6, verse 6 to 8 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. There's that thing that the Bible does again. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. You mean, first I was a fool, now I'm a sluggard. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Okay, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, she provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. That's what an ant does. An ant. And we can't even do it. An ant saves up for the future, but we get caught by Black Friday. I mean, really. I mean, the Bible just gets you in check very quickly. I mean, now we are getting beaten by ants here. You know what I'm saying? Why don't we save more? Because of envy. We're always comparing ourselves. Kayla's wearing those platform sneakers, and I've been dreaming about getting platforms. And my salary, my budget doesn't allow. No, man, I'm going to have to go open a clothing account. Edgar's got to get me those platform sneakers so me and Kayla, you know, can be on the same level. She's a bit high now with platform sneakers. You know, that's what we do. Envy is never satisfied. Envy, you're always craving and wanting more. Because guess what? When you're done getting Kayla's platform sneakers, there's someone else who has something that you really would like and you don't have it. So there's always something that you're going to want from somebody. And did you know that those people are in debt? Not Kayla in this case. But those people are in debt. How do you know how they got their stuff? You don't know how they did that. So stop comparing yourself and competing with them. Just decide, I don't care what others have. I'm going to save for the future. All right, and then number four is return 10% back to God, which is tithing. Why didn't God ask for 50%? God doesn't need your money. 10% is just a test. What is it? It represents that you are grateful for what God has done for you in the past. You're putting God as the first thing. You're putting God as priority. It's an act of faith. You're believing about what God is about to do for you. All right, when do we do this? On the first day of each week, you should put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. Don't do that. So set aside each week, every single time. These days, we've got EFTs. I'm like, church's accountant, really happy with the EFTs. Like, woo! It comes in very quick. You can do that. You know what I'm saying? The first day of the week is an act of worship when you put God first with your money. All right. And in Proverbs 3, verse 9 to 10, it says, right off the top, honor the Lord with your possession and with the first fruit of your increase. Where? Right off the top. It must be the first thing that you do with your money is what? Honor God with your wealth. And then enjoy what you have. Contentment. Don't wish for 10,000 rand when you only have 1,000. Enjoy the 1,000. But do everything you've just learned in the sermon. Enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. You must live within your means. All right, and it says in Hebrews 13, verse 5, don't love money, be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. What do we need to do? What do most people do? We earn it. We enjoy it. Repay it. All those monies we're borrowing throughout the month, now we're repaying it. We save it. And then we give it. And what do? We give God the scraps. He's not the first, like the Bible just said, but he gets whatever. Because now we've just remembered, oh, I have to tithe. And then you just give him the scraps. No, no, no. This is the order that God blesses. You earn it. And then you tithe it on your gross, not your net. All right? That one, the big amount before SARS takes off. Yeah, that's the one. All right? That's what you tithe on. You save it. You repay it, and then you enjoy it. Then you're like, but Boneka, there's hardly anything left for me to enjoy. But do you know if you start now, that you'll have more to enjoy in the future? Because if you don't start it now, you're always going to be in lack. You're always going to want more, and you're always never going to have enough. But if you do this right now, in the future, you'll be sitting there and saying, wow, I'm so glad I did that, because now I can enjoy it more. And in John 6, verse 35, and it says, then Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Thank you.
Order your copy of Active Worship's amazing new album, Ablaze, on iTunes or on www.activeworship.com.
We have ignition. Strap in.
You're about to listen to the hottest sounds.
Let's